Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited to be a part of that today. We'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. It's a very simple thing that we do. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that for that last person, when you're done with it, send it back to where it got started. And first person, when it comes back to you, please help us tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much. A few announcements I'll draw your attention to. There is no children's time today, with it being all the things that are happening with the deacons. We will not have children's time. Normal schedule this afternoon, make note of that, also including the Knit Together that the GAs are doing. Excited about that project. have an announcement here. The quarterly WMU salad or covered dish supper will be on Tuesday, January 12th at 6:30 p.m. in Smith Hall. Children from Baptist Children's Home will be joining us to share in song and testimony. So I know the WMU are looking forward to that. February 13th and 14th, we're very excited to announce the Youth Dinner and a Show. This will be the fourth one that we have done. Very excited about this one. It is one of our fundraisers for our upcoming high school mission trip to Belize. And so this is a perfect way to celebrate Valentine's Day or just to be with friends. You don't have to love your friends to be with them on Valentine's Day. Just be friends. And this dinner show is going to, I love the theme. It's, if you remember Tonight Show with Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or Jimmy Fallon or David Letterman, we're kind of bringing all the late show things and putting them as a part of this show. It's going to be a fun time together. And so we hope that you make plans. Those tickets are going to start going on sale next week, and the youth will be up here doing promotions and all that kind of stuff, and there'll be a ticket booth. And again, all those proceeds will go to support the mission trip to Belize coming up in June. Other things are listed there on the back of your bulletin, opportunities for the week. Primary basketball starts this Thursday for all four-year-olds through third grade. So that's a big time together. Let's see. Got anything?
No handbells. Bible study starts back in the morning.
No handbells tonight. Bible study, the Monday morning Bible study starts back tomorrow morning at 10. In Jeremiah. At 10 o'clock. So, right? Did I do that all right? Why are you laughing at me?
Oh, I was laughing at the face one of my
daughters. Okay. All right. I'm very self-conscious. Oh, we're so glad. So glad that you are here, especially our guests this morning. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. You've already given us your information on the pew pad. We're thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And these ushers were coming down the aisles now. They want to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Worship. Worship. What does that word mean? What does it mean to you? Is worship solely defined as Sundays at 11 o'clock? Is it an occasional turning on Christian radio and listening to some music? Or is it a lifestyle? Is it a way that we try to live 24/7? Worship is an expression of our gratitude to God, both inwardly and outwardly, giving everything that we have, actively showing God how much we love him and are thankful for him. So this time of worship, may we participate, not just watch, but be engaged in what God is doing. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? What a beautiful name is Jesus. God, we thank you that he was sent to be among your people, to show us how to live. And as we read Scripture, we see how he worshiped you with his life. He modeled for us how we should worship. And then sent us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live a lifestyle of worship. May we do that with everything we have. We invite you into this place. Speak to us, mold us, shape us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
At this time, would you please join me in the responsive reading that's found in your bulletin? Would you join me in the emboldened print? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the privilege is ours to be called to share in the loving, healing, and reconciling mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this age and wherever we are. Since without you, we can do no good thing.
May your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit renew us. May your Spirit strengthen us so that we will be strong in faith, discerning in speech, courageous in witness, and persistent in good deeds.
This we ask through the great name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Not paying attention. Well, so far we've sung about Jesus' beautiful name, the power of his name, and if you go on to like hymn 204, his name's glorious, sweetest name I know, and blessed be the name of all majesty. So lesson there is if you got one way of looking at Jesus' name, you may be missing a few. In fact, if you look back at hymn 200, that's the waltz version of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. That one can be a little scary the first time you try it if you grew up in a Baptist church. But I get a little bit different view of Jesus from that different arrangement. So tradition cannot always be all it's cut out to be. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for joining us here today for the time that you give us. We ask that you would protect us from letting tradition rob us of the joy of worship and the joy of serving and all those other joys. We especially ask that you would take these gifts that we have today and give us the joy of giving as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
as we begin our time of deacon installation and ordination, I want to read to you a passage of Scripture which you're no doubt familiar with. It's printed on the deacon ballot and nomination form. Actually, it may just be on the nomination form. I'm not sure it's on the ballot. But as the early church was beginning to organize to do ministry, the Apostle Paul was very helpful in all those churches that were beginning to organize to do the ministry, to do the missions, to do the work of the body of Christ. And he wrote a lot of letters. He gave a lot of instructions. Some of it we still have. Others probably no doubt were lost along the way. But one letter in particular that was written to Timothy, which Paul referred to as his son in the ministry, is very helpful as we think about what does it mean to do church together. Now, I can tell you that my Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian brethren down at the YMCA cannot believe that Baptists actually let people vote on things. They say, Raymond, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble if you let everybody have an opinion and a vote. And I'm like, well, y'all can do it your way, and we'll stick to the scriptural way. And they get that from me. And we have good time bantering back and forth. But, you know, as we look at Scripture and as we read Paul's letters in particular, it's really encouraging because we as believers are here to serve the God who gives us life and who gives us new life in Jesus Christ. And for the deacons this morning, this is a really special time. And for us as the body, it's a very special time. And I want to read to you a couple of small passages from 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first passage will deal with leadership in the church in particular, okay, or more general, I should say. And the second passage will deal with deacons in particular. Now, understand that the word deacon means servant. And I'll be reading from the Message, which is Peterson's translation, and he uses the word servant instead of deacon, but that's what he's talking about. But in the beginning, he writes in the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1, if anyone wants to provide leadership in the church, good. It's a good thing. But there are preconditions. A leader must be well thought of, committed to his wife, cool and collected, accessible, hospitable. He must know what he's talking about. Not be overly fond of wine, not pushy but gentle, not thin-skinned. He put that in just for Baptists. Not thin-skinned, not money-hungry. He must handle his own affairs well, attentive to his own children and having their respect. For if someone is unable to handle his own affairs, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new believer, lest the position go to his head and the devil trip him up. Outsiders must think well of him, or else the devil will figure out a way to lure him into his trap. Then he starts talking about deacons. The same goes for those who want to be servants in the church. Serious, not deceitful, not too free with the bottle, not in it for what they can get out of it. They must be reverent before the mystery of the faith. That's a cool phrase there. Reverent before the mystery of the faith, not using their position to try to run things. Let them prove themselves first. If they show they can do it, take them on. No exceptions are to be made for women. Same qualifications. Serious, dependable, not sharp-tongued, not overly fond of wine. Servants in the church are to be committed to their spouses, attentive to their own children, and diligent in looking after their own affairs. Those who do this servant work will come to be highly respected, a real credit to this Jewish faith. Excuse me, this Jesus faith. Paul didn't write that. Trust me on this, he didn't write that. Those who do this servant work will come to be highly respected, a real credit to this Jesus faith. Beautiful words, beautiful words. And as we begin a time of installation, ordination, good words for us to hear. I want to invite Sarah Talley, if she would come at this time. Sarah served as our deacon chair for this past year, 2015, and she is going to recognize those who are completing service as well as speak a word to them.
I'm going to ask those who are completing service to stand when your name is called. John Cobble, he served as our vice chair this year. Kathy Chinlin, Jay Edmonds, Matt Hamby, who served as our secretary, Bill Henson, and Kent Hobson. This board of deacons and these folks in particular did four things really well. They prayed, they listened, they collaborated, and they took action. And I feel very grateful to have had them serve. Thank you. You may be seated. I also want to thank Raymond because he provided a lot of support and insight this year. So thank you. And I want to encourage each of you to take a risk in your service to God. I think during those times is when he really grows us. So I would encourage you to do that. And I'm excited very much to have the leaders that we have coming on for this coming year and for the new deacons that are joining us. Thank you all.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for your leadership this year. I also want to recognize Lori Cogdell. Lori will be coming to introduce to you those who are to be installed today. And I want to ask for you to pray in particular for Lori. It's a lot of responsibility, and it weighs pretty heavy at times, doesn't it, Sarah? It weighs pretty heavy at times, but it's also a joyful experience, hopefully, as we serve together. So, Lori, thank you at this time.
It's my honor right now to recognize those deacons who are being installed today who have been previously ordained, if you'll stand when I call your name. Skip Chinland, Nancy Hurst, Tony Perkins, and Jim Purnell. On behalf of the church, I just want to say thank you for your willingness to serve, for your dedication to Christ and his church, and we look forward to serving alongside you this year.
It's for the last several years, as we've looked at the deacon ballot and those who have agreed to have their name placed on the ballot, I've made the comment to staff. I walk in, I go, boy, this is win-win. This is win-win. You look at this ballot, you look at these good people. It really doesn't matter which six are selected. We're going to have a great future. And that's because many of you are willing to take a chance and be called out as servant leaders. And we really do appreciate all those whose name were on the ballot the last several years, whether you were elected or not, your willingness to step forward. And we know that you will continue to serve, whether it's in that official capacity or not. We have two who were selected this year by you to be servant leaders, Julie Blink and Barry Nelson. Neither of which has been ordained as a deacon. And so that's part of why we come together today. And I've invited them to come and share a word with you about their journey to this point, what has brought them to this point. And I left it pretty much that open-ended because I wanted their personality to come through in what they shared with you. So as we did in 9 o'clock, it's ladies first. So Julie, if you would come, please.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Julie Blink, and I've been a member of College Park for over 20 years. My husband, Earl, and I started coming to church when Earl was invited to play in a church softball game. He is athletic. I am not. I grew up in the Presbyterian church. I was sprinkled as a baby and joined the church as a teenager. When we came to College Park and decided to join, I was baptized here. My childhood was wonderful. I was a crisis pregnancy, and my birth mother made the decision to give me up for adoption. God placed me in a wonderful family. I'm blessed my parents are here today. Even before I knew what to ask for, God was shaping my life with his plan and placed me where I was supposed to be. I was very lucky to have married the right person who was raised in a godly home. Becoming parents was joyful and painful for Earl and I. We lost our first daughter, a stillborn, full-term pregnancy. I was pregnant with Allie when I was baptized here. Then came Avery and Owen. And the ride has been adventurous for this only child, non-rowdy girl. God showed me the other side, and I've enjoyed the ride. Both my sons were baptized here as well. We brought them here as babies, and this congregation has loved and prayed for them for the start. I love College Park because God placed me in a fellowship of believers that has held my hand in great pain and great joy. I have enjoyed all the capacities I have served here. WMU director showed me the great passion the ladies and the gentlemen of this church have for missions. To me, there is nothing more beautiful than a WMU brunch with all the tables beautifully decorated and a room full of godly women. Being in leadership positions with GAs and mission friends has taught me that after a really hard day, when I come in here and I just feel beat, that the children of this church show me Jesus, and I walk out feeling uplifted and lighthearted. I was in a mom's Bible study here when my boys were young, and I learned how to pray out loud. The power of other praying ladies and the power that God had in that room as we watched each request be answered. Then I said yes to teaching youth Sunday school. And God showed me that to be willing to teach his word and just watch what happens. The thoughts and discussions I have been a part of are priceless to me. Just when I think I should quit because we have strayed so far off our lesson, God suddenly brings us back to center. And they get it. I'm not sure how he does that. I have learned if you follow the youth around, you will be tired, but you will see God in what they're doing. So as I think about what got me here today, it is you all and God. I feel being a deacon is all about serving. As I prayed about saying yes to the nomination, I was scared and excited. I also had a feeling of willingness, and I decided not to argue with the feeling of willingness, and I said yes. So here I am. Many of you have already given me words of encouragement, and I thank you for them. I am thankful to you for your confidence in me, that I will, and I will do my very best with God's help. Thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, family. Thanks for coming. My name is Barry Nelson. I've been coming to church here at College Park for about 14 years. When my wife and I met, you sweet thing, where are you? There you are. We started with a pact to be accountability partners. And we put Jesus first in our marriage, in our friendship, and it has been a beautiful thing, and it's gotten us through a lot of neat times. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in, I was raised in Michigan. I came from a Catholic home. We attended church, but not regularly as a family. I think I kind of call us what, holiday Christians. So Christmas, Easter, and a few Sundays in between, but as a kid, it wasn't my fault, okay? So, but my parents wanted, I went to Catholic schools and public schools. My parents wanted me to learn what catechism was about. They wanted me to learn who Jesus was and God was, and so that was a great thing. And I can even remember getting spanked by nuns a few times, so yes, it's true, they can be pretty tough. Maybe I deserved it, I don't know. Our neighbors, I lived on a lake, and our neighbors went to the Church of the Nazarene, and when my sister and I were little kids, they invited us to go to church with them, and that was the first time I'd ever been to a Sunday school. And that was really kind of neat, the coloring. I'm little, okay, not lately, but the coloring, we had Bible stories and little things and activities that we did, and so you got to see a bunch of kids together and in a common theme. So that was kind of like the first seed in my life that was really placed as an awareness of God, despite all the things, and I'm not bad-mouthing the Catholics at all, trust me. But I didn't get much there. But over here, and I started this Protestant side, it was like, wow, this is kind of neat. So in high school, my parents, I didn't do real well in high school. I was just kind of an average guy, no real direction. So mom and dad said, look, We're going to send you down to Alabama to go to military school. I thought, uh-oh. So 12 hours from home later, I had a friend who invited me to go to a Baptist church with her. It was her church. And it was a little bitty country church out in the middle of nowhere. And I can still picture it like it was yesterday. White siding, the church was up on concrete blocks, you know, level it off. It was a dirt parking lot. I walked inside and they had the dark paneling on the walls, and it was a lot. All Baptist churches have wood pews and red carpet, I guess, but I still remember it. But anyway, I heard a sermon that day, and I heard the Lord speak to me. I heard and felt something that I'd never heard before. I've been in church. They did the readings, and they did the gospel reading, and then had a homily that the priest would do. But this was just something different, and I can't explain it, but that was my awakening. And that really touched me. So kept going to Baptist churches off and on. I moved down to Florida, where I attended another church down there called First Baptist Church of Indian Rocks Beach. And going to church there, I got the call. Jesus spoke to me, and he said, Barry, it's time. It's time for you to stand up for what you believe in. I want you to be involved. So I took the walk forward. I accepted Christ and went through a believer's baptism. That was really the start of my spiritual life. I mean, so for that I'm eternally grateful, because from there on it's been tough sometimes, but it's been wonderful. And through all I've learned through service, you can really grow so much. God uses you if you let him. So you've got to say, yes, Lord, use me. So during my travels, I moved a lot. As a young guy, I moved from Florida to Houston, Texas, St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, Greenville, South Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, and finally Winston-Salem. And honey, we're done. We're not moving anywhere. No more. I like it here. I love it here. And which I want to sum this up, really. College Park has been a beautiful church. This is a Bible church. And it's just the neatest thing to be here, to have you folks as brothers and sisters, to guide us, to shepherd us, to help us. We help each other, and we help the community. And that's really what it's all about, and that's my idea of service. And so there's a couple of scriptural passages. I'll try and be quick here, Raymond, that I want to read to you. These things are really, really precious to me, and they've shaped me now who I am and where I'm going. So if you'll bear with me. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the second verse, a couple passages, Matthew 25, 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you, give you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So to me, this is what service is about, and I pray that God allows me to continue and give the service to this church and to our community. Thank you.
Julie and Barry, if you would please join me in standing as we consider now a covenant of commitment together. You've been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today we've come to formally ordain you to the office. But before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are: be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor and the church, set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, be a leader with the pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? If you would please remain standing, and I want to invite those who are being newly installed today, if you would join them in standing. You have been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park. You have declared your willingness to serve, and may I add, we are grateful for that. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit to be used for the fulfillment of God's purposes in this church, cooperate with pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? Do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you please let it be known by standing with them? Do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and his church? Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please join all of us in standing? As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the other members of College Park, to remember the covenant we've made together with each other this day and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. We now enter into a time of service where there will be a laying on of hands for those who will be ordained today or being ordained today. I want to ask, if you don't mind, just point of personal privilege, if this morning, if we could limit the laying on of hands to family or close family that are here, or family that of the candidates to be ordained, as well as those who are ordained either as deacon and minister. There'll be plenty of opportunities for the rest of you to speak to them, but I think to kind of expedite things a little bit this morning, if we could limit to those who come and speak to the candidates. So I want to invite Barry and Julie, if you would now, take your place in kneeling here. And I think Teresa is going to have some music that's playing. So I invite family and ordained ministers and deacons, if you would come and speak a word in laying on of hands this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. We're not all ashamed of that. We believe God's word is the foundation of our faith, what gives us instruction, what gives us encouragement. And from that, we also draw the encouragement from the body and the instruction from the body. And it all comes back to God's word, because God is faithful. His word does stand forever. Amen?
Amen.
Would you join me in standing, please, for our prayer of dedication? Gracious Father, as we come together as your children, as we come together as your servants, as we come together as the body, we pray now that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would protect us for these new deacons. We do pray a prayer of protection for them. Father, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for them. We pray that you would continue to encourage them through your Spirit and through us as the body, as we work, as we serve, as we minister together. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray. At the conclusion of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak to them. Thank you for being patient in the laying on of hands, but we will give you your chance. Conclusion of service, you'll have a chance to come speak to them as well. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a hymn. It's an opportunity for you to respond to the calling of God upon your life. So we invite you to do that. Whatever your decision may be this morning, we invite you, as we sing now, to make that decision public.
Been a good day, hasn't it?
Amen.
Today is just the next day you need to be praying for your deacons. You need to pray tomorrow for your deacons, because they are praying for you. Kneeling on that bench is a weighty feeling, but I want you to know God will go with you, and God has already begun to use you in so many different ways, as he uses us all, wherever we may go. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for this time of worship where we have been together lifting up your name. For those you have called to be ordained today and to serve as deacons, we ask a special blessing on them, that your will would be done and they would be passionate for you and sensitive to your spirit. For us all, as we go from this place, so many places that need your love and your mercy and your grace, may we have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the compassion to respond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.